This is Packer and Durham on ACCN and Sirius XM Channel 371.
We'll start with Clemson. Tigers, they go get Sam Hartman 8 times on Saturday at Frank Howard Field in the win against the Deacons. 8 of them, Pack.
They just totally dominated the game from the very first snap. They just said, hey, not today. You've been 35 or more on everybody. You're not going to sniff 35 today. And really, Wake scored a couple touchdowns in the fourth quarter after it was all said and done. It was a tremendous defensive effort by the Tigers, and they just physically dominated Wake Forest up front. Really did. They put Sam Hartman on his back all day. They were good. Really good.
Pitt and NC State return kicks for touchdowns.
Yep. We've seen old Bam Knight do this now. He's starting to get used to it, right? Almost every week. And by the way, I like the NC State red end zones.
Yeah, I do.
Military appreciation, all that stuff. That was a sweet look. And Bam's gone. Boink. See ya. 7 to the end zone. NC State, kind of a slow start to the ball game. And, man, by the time the Wolfpack got it, gassed up and ready to go,
right,
they put Syracuse away. And this was a big return for Pitt.
Well, and Abanacanda kind of is one of these sneaky guys. But Pitt blocked this beautifully. When they showed it from the end zone, they sealed it. They called the right side of the field. Virginia went the other way. Yeah. So the minute he hit the first line, you could almost see the path open up for Izzy.
Yeah.
So great job there. Tyler Van Dimes. Boy, you better get – it's just 5 straight now.
Getting routine.
303. Yeah, 300 yards passing, 3 touchdowns. Tyler Van Dyke getting it done for the Miami Hurricanes. I mean, Breshard Smith on a home run ball. Here's another one. That's Mike Harley.
You know, Wes, the thing that's impressive when he throws the football, and again, you did the game, terrible weather conditions. It's raining sideways. It didn't matter to him. Nope. He throws laser beams.
Yeah, he does.
I mean, he's hitting guys completely in stride and going through wide receiver U. I wanted to add more Miami guys. But you can't. You know why? Because the ball hits him right here. I mean, it doesn't matter.
That's exactly right.
And I tell you, if you're a Miami fan, we're just talking about how Florida State fans should be really fired up about the future with what Mike Norvell's done. How about Manny Diaz, too? And this is a team that was 2-4. You did the game in Chapel Hill where you're looking at, man, they got NC State and Pitt coming up. Yikes. Right. Where are they going? Miami and Florida State, two of the brands we keep talking about in this league, have really played good football in the second half of the season.
Yeah, we're going to get to where the Miami situation is with all the things that brewed a week ago today. Interesting how in a week things have kind of not settled down, but I think there's a path here for success, and it's going to be interesting in that AD search, kind of how all this takes care of itself from the football side. We'll get more on that in a moment. Jordan Addison, 202 and 4 touchdowns in the win against Virginia. You knew Kenny Pickett would deliver. Question is, how many different variables would there be in the throw game? Well, this guy stole the show. 14 for 202, including this thing.
Biggest games, the biggest stars. And Kenny Pickett to Jordan Addison, you got it. That combo works every Saturday.
Sure does. And Pittsburgh's going to Charlotte because of it. Congratulations to the Panthers. Sean Tucker had a record-setting Saturday, huh?
Yeah.
How about this guy? Single-season rushing record at Syracuse. Out of nowhere this guy came from, Pack.
Yeah, preseason polls. Hey, couldn't find Sean Tucker. Nowhere to be found.
Yep.
Any preseason poll. Guess what? You know who 34 is with Syracuse. And he got off to a slow start in this game, but eventually breaks through. He is just a big-time player, humble, low-key, just shows up and goes to work.
Yep. So congratulations to Sean Tucker. You think about all the backs, and then you think about that record.
That's right.
Kenny Pickett is next. He had a record-setting Saturday as well. Single-season passing yards, 38-57 with a game to go. He's looking at $4,000, Pack.
What a smart business decision to come back for your final year. You don't think the NFL scouts, and there were a bunch of them watching those two quarterbacks Saturday, going, man, this Pickett guy, he can help us, and he can. And on top of that, he's a great dude on top of it. I mean, just perfect combination.
And now there are all sorts of things and storylines developing around Kenny Pickett. He'll be a storyline for us now until April. That's how prominent and how smart, as you allude to, a business decision he made.
Yep.
Clemson is on best of the weekend. Why? 34 straight now at home. That's just a crazy number, by the way.
Impressive. It really is. We're going to give you another stat about this later in the show, which really puts it in perspective. But if it's a big game, I don't care. Ranked, unranked, that crowd, they know how to do it now.
Right.
You walk in there, you better have your A game. You think you're going to be Clemson in their house.
You're right about that. Kobe Pace was sensational. Will Shipley was as well. Tiger ground game cranked up. They give you a lot to think about.
I think it's the best home field, home court advantage in the Atlantic Coast Conference, more, regardless of sport.
Yeah, more from Kobe in just a moment. NC State has 14 tackles for loss?
Yeah, 14 of them.
My heavens.
Syracuse.
Drake Thomas, look out.
Tell you, when you're playing from behind the chains against this crowd, good luck. They'll tee off and hit you. NC State will. And if you're North Carolina this week, Mac Brown, you're watching this tape going, hey, Sam.
Get it out of your hands.
Get it out of your hand because they're coming.
Yeah.
Friday night, I'm telling you, boys and girls, you don't even have to have a rooting interest. It'll be worth your time for NC State, North Carolina Friday night.
Wonder if we get the Slobbering Wolf helmet back for Friday night. Remember the game one, the Slobbering Wolf with the bricks?
I hope State's wearing red and white. And I hope North Carolina's not wearing their Duke blue. I want, hey. This, you come in there.
Carolina needs to come over there in all white,
all
with the
white,
blue helmet.
Blue helmet, yep. NC State, red
let's
and
get
white.
A little, let's get a little. You know what we need to do? We need to get a little Toll Avery, Mike Quick, Ted Brown going. We need to get a little. We need to go back to the throwback days of this deal. This thing in the 70s. Remember in the 70s and 80s? This game had something on it when Dick Sheridan and Mack Brown were coaching against each other. Even when you had the Monty Kiffin kind of Dick Crum.
About Lou Holtz.
Lou Holtz, Bill Dooley. Lou Angelo, an interception late. The Bucky Twins beat Bill Pascal on a 2-point play. You know, those type things.
You know what would only make this series better? Is if NC State and North Carolina took a page out of the USC-UCLA book and both teams wore home unis.
Oh, man. How good is that?
Because it's such a great contrast.
Oh, it'd be great.
Light blue, hot red, let it rip. Big games Friday night.
Look here now. I know what you might be thinking, but Packers right here. Friday night.
It took 507 shows.
No, you've been right about a lot of stuff. But here's the deal. You're right about this. Bubba Cunningham, Boo Corrigan, Mack Brown, Dave Doeren. Look here now. NC State, you need to wear the red helmet, the red jerseys, and the white pants on Friday night.
Red and white.
And you know what, Carolina? You need to wear the Carolina blue helmet, the Carolina blue jersey, and the white pants.
That's right.
That's what you all need to wear.
Everybody wear their home unis.
Everybody wears your home unis. And you all need to start doing it every year.
Every year.
Just like UCLA. That's an excellent, excellent point on your half.
I mean, USC-UCLA this weekend, kind of an irrelevant game nationally.
But it looked good.
But it's as pleasing to the eye as you can get from a uniform standpoint. And NC State, North Carolina could pull it off, and the contrast would be fantastic. It doesn't matter if it's a Carter awesome. Finley or Keenan. Doesn't matter.
It'd be awesome on TV.
It'd be tremendous.
Really and that's would. What you need to do. And I think when they played here in Charlotte, didn't they do that? You remember the Torrey Holt game, and then they threw to Nae Brown in the end zone in the State Carolina game in Uptown?
I don't remember.
I think they wore home jerseys in those two games. State Carolina swapped out home games about, 15 years ago? Longer than that, wasn't it? Yeah, longer than that. Mac left in 97. But they swapped out home games, and they played in Charlotte. And I think they wore home jerseys in both those games. I think they ought to do it again Friday night.
I agree.
There you go. All right.
Of course I agree.
We continue on. Kobe Pace, nearly 200 yards. Kobe Pace is going to be a problem.
He, Will Shipley, and Maffa, you think Dabo's got three good ones for the next couple of years?
Option, Dabo. Let's put some option in. Because you got backs. You know what, Clemson, Tony Elliott could work on some wishbone in the spring with those three guys, by the way. Wouldn't that be hilarious around the end zone?
Those three guys are going to be really good for a long time in Tiger Town.
Roddy Jones helped you put that wishbone in, Tony. Mikel Jones of Syracuse, he's going to be on some all-ACC ballots, by the way. A dozen tackles in the ball game against NC State the other night. This guy's been sensational. And can't tell you how good a job Tony White's done with their defense, by the way, Pack. Despite the result the other night, Syracuse had a great year defensively. Tough night the other night, but, man, the Orange have been fun to watch.
Well, the last 2 weeks have been tough.
Yeah.
They, in fact, defensively, they've not gotten the job done the last 2 weeks. And here comes Pitt. And Syracuse just needs one more to get to a bowl.
Yeah.
They had the chance at Louisville. They laid an egg. Didn't have any answers for NC State. And now you get the Coastal champs coming to your house. One more win, Syracuse goes bowling.
Big night at the Thomas House Saturday.
Yeah. Touchdown, touchdown.
Now, Thayer's had some. Drake? Oh, okay, player. Drake Thomas finds his way in the end zone. Compliments to Garrett Schrader. Heck of a play. And a good reroute to get to the end zone. Well, he's done a great job.
With given the injuries at linebacker,
yeah.
He has stepped up and really played terrific.
And Thayer in the end zone, too.
Yeah, we're used to seeing five in there with the ball. Pretty
he
cool,
can
though.
Do it. He can
both brothers do it. Getting the job done.
Flashback to Thursday. This was like a video game. This guy.
Was he any good?
Malik Cunningham.
He only had 303 yards passing, 224 rushing. And, oh, by the way, he took the last 12 minutes off. And 7 touchdowns.
And the only other guy to ever do it in an FBS game is Marcus Tuiasosopo.
Right.
Seriously?
And by the way, he was under the weather. He was ill. So, guess what? Louisville, Kentucky this week. Commonwealth showdown.
Yep.
Tell you what, Kentucky, better tackle 3. He can embarrass you.
Better tackle a bunch of them. NC State women's
Natty.
Cross country.
National champions.
Apparently.
The chariot of champions started all this.
Oh, my goodness.
Here we go.
And on off we go from Tallahassee.
Get set, go. NC State crosses the finish line.
Good course. To see my buddy John Anderson involved in this, by the way. Get him out from behind that Sports Center desk. Get him to the cross country championships. Congratulations to the Wolf Pack.
That's
Hannah
scared
Steel the heck
Mini
out
Company.
Of somebody there on the right. My goodness.
Tell you what, that's impressive.
Yeah, it is.
Really is.
Yep. Of course, Hannah's a friend of the show.
Yep.
Does a great job, and congratulations to NC State. Wake and Notre Dame both finished top 10 at the men's cross country national championships. Of course, Notre Dame won the ACC, but good to see the Deacs in there as well.
Notre Dame also finished in the top, I think finished 5th in the women's. Mm-hmm. Standings as well. So a really nice representation of ACC and cross country this year.
All right. 5 teams from the ACC have advanced in the men's soccer tournament on the NCAA card. Both Duke, Pittsburgh, Notre Dame, Wake Forest, and Clemson all moving on there, Mark.
And by the way, Notre Dame and Wake Forest will see each other in the next round. Just saying. Notre Dame and Wake. And keep in mind, Notre Dame won the Atlantic Coast Conference as a 5 seed. And no surprise to see this many teams advance. Virginia Tech lost in the penalty kick to West Virginia, and North Carolina was eliminated. So 2 eliminated, 5 move on the men's side.
I think I'm allergic to the Baja Chipotle sauce.
No, you're not. If Subway's a sponsor, you're not. You're going to eat it, Wes, and you're going to like it.
No, I've eaten it. It was good. I'm just kidding. Bless you, Wesley. And let's see what else we got. Florida State and Duke advance in the women's soccer tournament.
Yeah, the only disappointment, and we'll get to the worst part of the weekend, there was a 1 seed from the ACC that didn't get the job done. However, pair of ones here with Florida State and Duke, they move on.
Yep. And good to see Florida State and Duke get a chance. And, of course, Mark Krikorian's team, phenomenal.
Well, they got some unfinished business,
they
right?
They do. Yep.
Lost the national championship last year on penalty kicks, and you just get a sense that Florida State's women's program is like, hey, you know what? Unfinished business. Let's go close the deal.
So there we have it. Best of the weekend. Moving right along. But when there's good, there's bad. And the list not as lengthy, but still we have some. So we will cover that as Packer and Durham roll on, presented by Subway, here this morning for you on the ACC Network. And still to come, we'll look at Miami and NC State, who also posted wins, but on the other side, but not so good. Oh, we're going to show some hoops. Tough day for the league yesterday. We'll get to all that and more. Stay tuned.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. This is the Packer and Durham Podcast.
Packer and Durham. It's a Monday, holiday week. Like I said, if you're out traveling already, just be careful. Take your time. You'll get there, right? Mm-hmm. We're That's here it. Tuesday and Wednesday. There are no Thursday or Friday Packer and Durham shows. Give everybody the heads up on that. All right, we just went through the best of the weekend, Wes. Unfortunately, there are some worst of the weekends.
Yeah, and you mentioned this. UVA soccer team.
Women's team.
Eliminated, yep, from the NCAA tournament. 1-0 to BYU, Pack.
This is a number one seed, right? The ACC on the women's side had three of the four number one seeds. Mm-hmm. Told you about the Florida State and the Duke moving forward. But Virginia did not get the job done. And keep in mind, Virginia, Florida State, that was 1-2 nationally for the ACC championship. The Hoos are now out,
yep,
gone.
So BYU a winner, 1-0. And the finality of this thing, we talk about it all the time,
it's
gang.
Tough.
Yeah, it is. Yes, it is. Also on the worst of the weekend, we had a tough day in basketball yesterday. We had a tough weekend in some respects. Some teams that are going to have to grow up fast in certain situations. And what you learn now, let's see where it becomes applicable as the season moves on. Two teams fall into that category. One you kind of know about. One that I think there's too many new faces and things coming together. But Carolina and Clemson both took tough losses. Clemson especially so on Friday and Sunday, I should say.
Right. They had played St. Bonaventure on Friday. They're up 14 second half.
Right.
And didn't get it done. 21-2 run. The Bonnies are experienced and made everything they looked at down the stretch. That was a tough loss for the Tigers. And then last night,
yep,
they're up by 10 on West Virginia in the second half, and the Mountaineers come back and beat,
yep,
them. So for Brad Brunell, man, that would have been a nice back-to-back,
yep,
weekend. But unfortunately, it was the worst kind. Two blown double-digit leads in the second half. Tough loss. And for North Carolina, hey, there's no shame in losing to Purdue. I think,
right,
Purdue can win the national championship.
Yeah.
But they got punked yesterday by Tennessee.
Yep.
I mean, they just didn't defend a lick. You know, when you're giving up 53%, the opposition shooting 53% against North Carolina through five games.
Yeah.
The Heels offensively are fun to watch. They get up and down the floor. But I think one of the things that Hubert Davis needs to work on, and he knows this, mm-hmm, is toughness and playing better on the defensive end. That's a problem right now. Still early. But UCLA, Michigan are coming up for the Heels. Pack your lunch. Pack your Subways. Because both those teams are really good.
Well, and that's why I think that's the one thing about basketball. We touched on it last spring when we talked about all the name changing going on, all the combinations. I mean, we see Brady Manick, Dawson Garcia have nice games for Carolina. They're still kind of gelling. Clemson clearly kind of gelling a little bit with some of the new roles being established there. But you're going to take some punches in the mouth here. But it's a long season now. But got to win one. You got to put some games in November and December on the board, though, Pac, because you know that counts in March, too.
Oh, yeah. That's part of the resume.
Yeah. I mean,
but the problem was you had opportunities for really quality,
yes,
wins that would do nothing but enhance your body of work. And both North Carolina and Clemson came up short this weekend for
all
sure.
All right. Wake Forest. Deacon struggled to run it against Clemson. Only 36 yards of rushing for the Deacs against the Tigers in the loss on Saturday.
That slow mesh, guess what? When you're getting pounded up front and dominated on the line,
yep,
that does not work.
Yep.
And that did not work Saturday in Death Valley.
Yep. It didn't. That's why it come down to Saturday at Boston for the Deacs. Florida State committed 13 penalties against BC.
Still a little sloppy on that part, but still won the game on the road,
yep,
right? And I mentioned to you earlier that Florida State was up 26-3 and then kind of held on down the stretch because BC was making a run, mm-hmm, but you made enough plays to win. It's all about scoreboard at the end of the day for Florida State.
Yep.
And you know what? They got the W and they continue to dominate Boston College, winning 10 of the last 11 times they've hooked up.
Yep. So live to tell about it for Mike Norvell. That's the number one thing. And get the win. We told you it was a tough couple days in basketball. Syracuse gave up 18 threes against Colgate and lost for the first time in 55 meetings. Holy smokes. 100-85. There was a 30-some point swing in this game. Syracuse led early, I think, by
16-2.
16-2 and ends up losing by 15. Crazy.
Tell you what, right now, You know what game I'd like to see, like, tomorrow night?
Syracuse, Carolina?
Syracuse, North Carolina.
It'd be like the Kentucky Colonels and the old Carolina Cougars, wouldn't it?
It'd be the first to 100 wins.
First to 100? How about 110?
Well, I mean, you got to get to 100 first.
I know, but daggone.
Yeah, that's a tough loss.
And Jim Boeheim said, we're not very good on defense.
Coach, I would say when you see 100 under the word Colgate, I would agree with that. Still like Syracuse's team, though.
Oh, I do, too. I think the league is maturing. The question is, where's the process? How long is that maturity going to take? How much is that gelling going to take?
You know who looks good? Duke.
Well, yeah. We knew that.
Well, they were on the couch last year in March. Just saying.
Yeah, but...
Just saying.
Okay. All right. Wake Forest, 6 false start penalties.
Crowd noise.
Can't run it and have false starts.
That's a problem. Wake plays so smart, right? We talk about them. They don't turn it over. They don't make penalties. Guess what? 3 turnovers, 6 false starts. And when you see that kind of number, you can thank the crowd.
Yep.
That's part of the deal.
So, half dozen of those, having a hard time running. Next thing you know, nobody's happy. So, will Shipley spiral on the touchdown pass?
Have you seen this play?
No.
All right. Now, when you watch the play, I don't mean to make fun of Will. Just watch the pass. Look at that.
Is that end over end to Davis Allen?
Yeah.
Sure is.
Like me throwing it. Now, Shipley's been on the show, so we kind of can have some fun with him. Number one, it's a pretty good catch.
By the way, ship does happen when you do stuff like
ship
that.
Ship happens. He's got his merchandise out now.
Yeah.
In fact, Eric McLean last week said he already bought a couple sweatshirts.
Well, sure he did.
Yeah. But look at that pass. Look at that thing. Holy mackerel.
By the way, give Will a lot of credit to all the profit off the shirts, Levine Children's Hospital.
That's right.
Here in the Charlotte area.
He gets it.
Yeah, he does.
Totally gets it.
Yep.
So, throwing it to the tight end. What a unique concept down there.
This will be the worst of the weekend, but bless Taylor Davis's heart. Bless her heart. Roddy Jones and I were sitting up there at Hard Rock Stadium the other night in the crisp comfort of the television booth. Meanwhile, we were having the Weather Channel Game of the Week at Hard Rock.
Gosh. Welcome to beautiful South Florida.
I gotta tell you, it was... on and off, and mostly on, and at times like this.
Between this game and the overtime session of the Pitt North Carolina game.
Oh yeah,
we had it going on now.
Yeah,
Noah couldn't get his arc down there fast enough for that thing.
No chance, no doubt.
Did you know you're going to have bad weather?
Yeah,
you knew it was coming.
Yeah,
beforehand, hours before.
Well, we knew there was a possibility. It had been raining down there for the better part of 4 days in South Florida. When it landed on Friday, it was pouring. And then it stopped, and then it rained in the middle of the night, and it came back. And you know how, like, Miami, because you live there, Miami out to Fort Lauderdale is not around the corner.
Right.
But the rain just kept moving from west to east across the – they were talking about the rain. They were getting the Keys and at Marathon and at places like that. And it was just kind of moving through. It was never like lightning and thunder and all the dangers that you get sometimes with rain. It was just the rain. Crazy.
Coach Price looked like, you know what? He was right in his element, though.
That's what, when they were running the ball, it looked like we were remaking all the right moves with Tom Cruise. I mean, look at that. Yeah. Oh, J.C. Price now, this guy, I'm a fan. And look, I don't know who the next coach at Virginia Tech is going to be, but he'd be in the neighborhood of my first hire as an assistant. That guy... he loves it.
Well, he's a hokey lifer.
But he loves it. And he's come back to be on that defensive line as the coach this year for the first time. And he and Bill Teerlink have done a really nice job. Those two guys right there with Justin Hamilton, the coordinator, J.C. Price, wife's a Hall of Fame basketball player. I mean, he is as Virginia Tech through and through, the passion, the energy, all of that stuff that you'd want as a part of that program. Whether, you know, the next coach is Lombardi or – Amos Alonzo Stagg. All right. When we come back, NC State post a major win against Syracuse. The Wolfpack puts themselves in a position where Friday night now keeps the dream alive for Charlotte. Should be quite a showdown because it was a heck of a performance after, as Pack said, a slow start. Packer and Durham halfway home on a Monday presented by Subway.
Packer and Durham. Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
Packer and Durham, presented by the good folks at Subway. Man, I appreciate those sandwiches. Those were good, boy. Those subs are killer.
There you go.
All right, we got stuff to attend to, including other games that happened over the weekend. Let's start with NC State, Mr. Durham. They have they got good news with Clemson beating up on Wake because All of a sudden Wolfpack Nation's like, hey, we still have a chance.
That's it.
But they had to go take care of business against Syracuse. Defense has been playing well.
Right.
About Sean Tucker. NC State took care of business Saturday night.
And Devin Leary throws for 303, and all of a sudden you're thinking, huh, okay, a little sluggish start. Nobody cares anymore. You know why? Because you're getting this. We put some numbers up there last week about him, Pack. And this is why there is no discussion nationally about best quarterback league in the country. It's not even close, really. This guy right here, you start talking about Pickett, Hartman, Armstrong, Howell. You get down to 4 or 5 and you go, well, wait a second, Devin Leary, right?
Exactly right.
Well, wait a second, Tyler Van Dyke. Well, wait a second, Malik Cunningham. Now you're at 7 or 8.
That's right.
I mean, so let's be honest here. NC State scored 40 back-to-back for the first time since 18. Wolfpack's been really good on defense most of the year. I'm going to tell you now, Friday night, we're going to keep coming back to this in the next 2 days and a half because Friday night is going to be potentially as good as it gets with those two at a high level. You're talking about a heck of a ball game. Carolina's going to have to stop NC State as much as NC State's going to have to stop Carolina.
Yeah, it's got a chance to have fireworks all over the place. And we talked about this a couple weeks ago. North Carolina's got a chance to ruin parties, right? Started with Wake Forest.
Yep.
Right? Had a chance to do it at Pitt. Lost in overtime. Mm-hmm. Now they really get really kind of the ultimate party stuffer.
Oh, yeah.
Is going to Raleigh if you're North Carolina and going, oh, you guys are in the hunt for something? Cool. Watch us ruin that. That's what North Carolina wants to do. And if you're NC State, you get to set the bar early. Right? You get North Carolina to stay alive. And then you watch and see what Wake Forest does in Boston the next day against BC. Wolfpack still has a shot. And there are a lot of folks think that Wake's going to struggle at BC because that run defense, hey, NC State, pressure's on. You got to hold serve at home where the Wolfpack has been really, really good this year.
I don't want to discount Sean Tucker's 13 carries for 105 yards to break Joe Morris's single-season rush record either. He's been fantastic. And congratulations to Sean Tucker. This is some kind of run here, by the way. I mean, that's the one that breaks the record. But he's also got a touchdown run in here, too, that's pretty impressive. This guy has done it. Look at that. Fired out of a cannon.
You know what else is impressive about what he's done, Wes? You know he's going to touch it, and you still can't stop him. That's when you know you're a dude.
Yeah.
Right? When everybody knows, hey, we're taking 34 out of the game. How else can you beat us?
Yep.
Well, nobody takes 34 out of the game. He is that kind of player. He's had some year.
Let's move on to Chapel Hill. Carolina 34, Wofford 14. No Sam Howell, upper body. So he goes, takes a final bow at Kenan Stadium in street clothes. Josh Downs, 8 for 89. We got to see Drake May for the first time, Pack, in extended play. You see Morales a touchdown. All sorts of things going on with Carolina in the run game against the T-Dogs.
Hopefully a nice check for Wofford.
Yep.
North Carolina, you get the win, you become bowl eligible, and now all focus 100% is on the red and white. That's what I learned from that game.
Yep.
That's about it.
It was like the fourth preseason game in the old days of 4 preseason games.
You know, I know those games exist. Everybody's got them. But I got to tell you, I don't like them late. If you want to play that game in September, I get it. This is just a personal – I'm not speaking on behalf of anybody but me. I just watched the Southeastern Conference this weekend out checks and beat everybody by 50. And, you know, I know if you want to play that game, fine. Got it. Noted. But let's get those games played in September and let meaningful football in November take place.
We spend a lot of time in a college football season, in and out of the season, talking about scheduling, don't we?
Yeah.
There has got to be a way – And this is off the beaten path here a little bit of the ACC. This is more of a national thing. And if we're going to reset college football like I think we are, expansion of the playoff, all those things, right? If we're going to reset college football, there has got to be a way that you clear however many conference games you're going to play, 7, 8, 9, 10, whatever, that you clear the deck of your less than desirable non-conference games in the first 5 weeks of the season.
Yeah, your non-conference games, in my opinion, should be early. Just get them, knock them out. And let's roll up your sleeves and get to work.
The Big Ten really had
October.
An idea, don't you think? Jim Delaney, remember they used to play like four non-conference games, then play their league in a row? Remember that?
I think that's what you should do. I mean, there's nothing worse than you say, hey, we get to late November, and you go, hey, who's number one playing this week? Roast beef A&M. Come on. Those games need to be out of the way. Get them out of the way. You got to play meaningful football games in late November.
Right.
My opinion.
Yeah.
Call me crazy.
I mean, you had Chuck Southern at Georgia this week, USA at Tennessee, Wofford at Carolina.
And I'm not being critical of the games being played.
No,
I get it. If you want to play them,
yeah,
fine. Knock yourself out if you think that helps your strength of schedule elsewhere, whatever your mindset is. But get them out of the way.
But
I just don't like those games in middle to late November.
All right.
I don't.
Let me pose this to you. When you have the schools that have the rivalry games at the end that are non-conference based and they're all this weekend.
Those are different.
They're different. But if you're the ACC and you're reinforcing a commitment to football, don't you want to kind of reset the way the schedule – and you keep those four at the end.
No doubt.
But you've got those four teams, so you know they're out and then everybody else plays
right. A
conference game, which is – typically what we have this weekend. So then can't you back up the other stuff to the front?
I would think so. But again, it's over my pay grade. I'm just a fan sitting on the couch watching games, and I want to be entertained late season in games that matter. Conference games, it got to be priority one.
Right.
And again, if North Carolina wants to play Wofford or Clemson wants to play South Carolina State, hey, knock yourself out if that's what your philosophy is of scheduling. But play that game in September, right? Get it out of the way. Don't give that game to me in the middle of November.
Yeah, when you're still defining the identity of your team.
You saw the crowd at Kenyon Stadium. That's your senior day.
Right.
Right? I mean, come on. Sam Howell's walking out for the last time.
Yeah.
That place should have been packed to the rim. But, you know, Wofford, I got things to do.
And it's when it was scheduled. I get it. You know, and I understand. And, by the way, that's the end of Wofford's season, by the way.
I'm not worried about Wofford. They're looking for a check.
No, but that's an FCS school. That's their year-end game.
I get it, but they're looking for a check. So when you're writing a check, you should be able to dictate policy of, hey, here's when I'm writing you a check for this with a comment, sometimes two, but we're going to play this game September 15th.
Right.
That's just my opinion. Whatever it's worth.
It's just food for thought because we're resetting college football in so many different ways anyway.
Right.
So why not take a look at the order of appearance, if you will, right? When we come back, I tell you this. There's a lot to put your arms around when it comes to Miami and, to a degree, Virginia Tech. We need a full segment to do it, too. So we'll talk about TVD slinging it. My goodness. And what all that means for the Canes going forward. Packer and Durham presented by Subway continues in a moment.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. This is the Packer and Durham Podcast.
All right, week 13 in the ACC. Got to get you ready for it, don't we? We got the big one on Friday night. Then Saturday at 10 a.m., Jordan Cornette gathers with Coach Rick, E.J. Manuel, and Eric McClain. They get your Saturday off on the right foot. Presented by Marathon, it's the huddle. All the analysis, all the insight, all the laughs you're looking for with the fellas start at 10. And then football on this channel at 3:45 with Virginia Tech and Virginia Commonwealth Cup from Scott Stadium at David A. Harrison III Field in Charlottesville with Anish Shroff, Mike Golic Jr., and Taylor McGregor. Right here on the ESPN app, Tupac. There you go. Monday's football. Presented by Subway on
football,
this fine program.
Football. What a great week this is.
Only food. Two ball games on the network this week.
I get that, but man, this is such a great week, right?
Yep.
Food, family, football.
America.
Sprinkling some hoops on the side. Life's good.
There you go.
Life's really good.
All right. Saturday night, amidst the intermittent showers.
Is that what that was? was that the West Durham AccuWeather forecast?
Yeah, Larry Sprinkle. Against the intermittent showers the other night, a hurricane rolled in, and his name is Tyler Van Dyke. 357 yards and three touchdowns. Miami is bowl eligible, beating Virginia Tech 38-26. Will Mallory another touchdown? Jalen Knighton a couple on the ground, and here's the first one. Look at this throw. Zip. How good's Mallory been the last five games? There's a home run ball for Breshard Smith.
Five consecutive games, 300 yards plus, three touchdowns plus. You know what? How many guys have done that in the last 15 years of ACC quarterbacks? Nobody. You're watching a star be born right there.
Zero.
I still go back to the week of the NC State game where Tyler Van Dyke's TV dinner says, yeah, NC State, yeah, some last year. Yeah, we're going to go down there and do our thing. And you're like, okay, big man, tag, you're it.
Yeah, we looked at the screen and went, all right.
Okay, man, you can talk it. Now can you walk it? Well, since he made that statement,
right,
pew, it's gone off.
And they've had one blip, and that's it.
And there's no joke when you watch him play. He is throwing thunderbolts.
Mm-hmm.
And I know if you're watching those highlights, if you didn't see the game, Wes was on the call, you're going to see more of it at wide receiver U because, ironically, the Hokies are all over the place on wide receiver U. It's hard to find one for Miami because every pass was right between the numbers.
Yep.
I mean, just perfect passes in terrible weather.
Yeah.
The guy is going to be a star.
And
star.
May already be.
Right. Exactly right.
Okay. Let's get to the landscape for a moment on Miami. A week ago today, they parted ways with athletic director Blake James, who, as we said on this show, really one of the top college administrators in the country. Man's been chair of several Division I councils. He is a guy who is at the front end of where the new world of college athletics is going to be. And he's been, full disclosure, awfully kind to us, was always willing to appear to discuss tough subjects. Okay, but it just didn't end well at Miami for Blake James. So that happens on Monday. There are all sorts of reports about a study being done within the university. Dr. Julio Frank, the president, and his immediate staff did kind of a full evaluation of where athletics is and in particular where the football program is. We also have several players, dozens of players, who get together to talk about the state of the U and all the things that Miami needs to do. Then there's a report pack that all of a sudden there'll be some financial commitment to football and in particular athletics under the new athletic director up to the neighborhood of about $30 million. So the minute Blake James is parted ways with the university, let go, whatever, immediately the speculation on Manny Diaz's future ramps back up. Now, we don't have a vote in that room. We like Manny Diaz. He's been friendly to us. We've had a nice working relationship with the coach at Miami. We try to have a nice working relationship with everybody on this program. But you can see it in Miami. You've had him there for 3 years. Okay? Is that really enough time to decide whether or not Miami is back or anything else? Look, they are a young football team. They've had injuries. They've had some disappointments. Sure. But you know what? There's a pretty strong glimmer of what might be lying ahead for the Canes. If they win at Duke and then win in a bowl, I would say they are a strong contender, at least preliminarily in the 22 Coastal. Just look at what they're going to have on paper, Pack.
Well, I'm not worried about 22 because who knows what's going to happen, transfer portal and what have you. But I can tell you that when they were 2-4, they're not going anywhere. And that loss to North Carolina, TVD is now playing. Mm-hmm. You looked at the schedule. NC State's coming to your house, a road trip to Pittsburgh. Both those teams ranked at the time, still are. You won both of them. Much like Florida State, in my humble opinion, I think Miami has gotten better in the second half of the season to the point where I'm not sure a lot of folks are interested in playing Florida State or Miami right now. Now, have they reached the finish line? No, they haven't. But has Miami gotten a flavor of, hey, you know what? Can you win a national championship there? Yeah, you can. Can you win a national championship at Florida State? Yeah, you can. Mm-hmm. It's been done multiple times. So, again, patience. I don't know where this is going to go. Miami doesn't have an athletic director. Everybody's talking about Manny Diaz. Hey, you know, in terms of hiring and firing, that's not what we do on this show. But you got to have the people in place to make a decision of thumbs up or thumbs down. But make no mistake, when you watch this team play, you've got a quarterback who's a star. You're playing all these young dudes that are absolutely balling right now. Is the defense great? No, it's not.
Right.
But you can get better. You can certainly recruit, and they have.
Mm-hmm.
So I think these – again, I think Miami, much like Florida State, is trending upwards. Trending upwards. You're going to a bowl. Florida State have a chance to win one this week to get to a bowl, which would be miraculous given the 0-4 start. So, you know, I've seen this act before where people just go, hey, we should be winning 12 games every year. Well, raise your hand if you think that how many teams can win 12 every year. You know what? It's one or two.
Right.
And even that's not a guarantee. Right?
Yeah.
So Miami is – the one thing I know about Miami, you can tell me about what you did 20 years ago.
Right.
But really, Mark Richt got him there a couple years back. It got you to an ACC title game, which is the only time since you joined the league that you've done that.
Mm-hmm.
So I just think you need to be patient at Miami. I think Manny Diaz has got it going in the right direction.
I agree.
But, you know, that's not our call.
Yep.
So we'll see how this plays out. This is going to be as crazy a coaching carousel as I can remember. Again, Dan Mullen lost his job over the weekend. I think there's now 13 or 14 coaches have now been fired.
Mm-hmm.
You got some high-profile gigs with LSU and Southern California and Washington and, you know, now Florida. You throw in Virginia Tech on top of it. Who knows what happens at Miami?
Right.
I'm not going to sit here and waste time speculating all that because that's for somebody else to waste their time on. But I think Manny Diaz is doing a nice job.
Yep.
I do.
George in New York at 844-SAY-ACCN ahead of the break. George, good morning.
Good morning to you, gentlemen. All right, I'm trying to mute so that I don't get any feedback. But I wanted to know the status of the quarterback situation at the U. You know, everybody keeps saying we're back, but we're not back. I understand what you guys are saying, and I believe that. I think the fan base needs to be patient. But I do think that the increase in the athletic budget for football from $20 million to $30 million will help with recruiting plus the new facilities. But I want to know if Miami's getting back on track with locking down all the recruits in Florida. I hear you say that they're on an upward trend. And I just want to know if the fan base will be patient. Hopefully they do not fire the coach because he's doing an excellent job, I think. And I think the defense is coming around, which is his forte. So I just want to know what you guys think about the quarterback situation and recruiting.
I would say this, Tyler Van Dyke is technically a redshirt freshman. He is a second-year freshman. He, in my opinion, will come into the ACC next year, assuming Sam Howell is out, Kenny Pickett's gone, Brennan Armstrong, Malik Cunningham. He'll be a top-five quarterback in the ACC next year for sure at the start of the season. Remember, we were talking about Devin Leary. We got Jeff Sims potentially if he's healthy at Georgia Tech. Jordan Travis will be back. I mean, Tyler Van Dyke will get a lot of offseason notoriety for the way he's finishing 2021. Recruiting, we're going to leave that to other people. Mark and I don't follow recruiting. It reportedly, it's gone very well. It's a smaller class based on their numbers. From what Roddy said the other night during the broadcast, I would offer you this. I think it is time that Miami understand that you can get it back, but you got to be patient. I would use case in point, kind of what Florida State has been through. If you're Miami and you're going to make another change, I think it's a dangerous thing to do. I think you end up cycling and cycling and cycling like we've seen all these other programs. You mentioned Florida earlier. That's the best example going right now of a program that just continues to cycle through a little bit.
Going back to George's question, though, I wouldn't worry about quarterback.
I wouldn't either.
I think the question at Miami to get back to consistency of winning 8, 9, 10 more games is on the defensive side.
I agree.
At some point in time, you got to stop somebody. I mean, we just gave the stat last week. They'd given up 30 or more in, what, 6 straight games, which is unheard of.
Right.
They finally broke that streak this weekend in the monsoon against Virginia Tech, which was not a terrific offensive team. To me, you've got the quarterback. You've got skill guys. my answer for Miami would be, hey, how do we increase the defensive side of the football to kind of get back to that edginess where people feared playing the Canes on defense?
Right.
I know offense sells tickets and all that stuff, but if you want to get back to being a championship caliber team, you've got to play defense. And I know that goes almost counter to where we are in college football right now, where we're first to 50 wins. But in this league, I mean, I think you kind of saw it Saturday.
Yeah.
I mean, Clemson and Wake. I mean, Wake Forest is the story, right? They saw somebody can flat out play defense, and it was just like, ooh, what was that all about, right? So I think that's where Miami, the next step for the Canes will be, is how do you improve the defense to get back into top 25, top 20, top 15 numbers? Because if you do that with TVD back there, you're going to score. You're going to, points are not going to be an issue at Miami.
I mean, you get Jalen Knight and you get Don Chaney back running the ball. You're going to have wide receiver talent. You do lose Mike Harley. Charleston Rambo's a one and done as a grad transfer.
You're going to find guys to catch the football.
Rashard Smith, Keyshawn Smith. I mean, there are plenty of guys that you're there to get excited about. George, thank you for the call. On the other side, we go to the Power Hour on this Monday show presented by Subway. There are three teams alive in the Atlantic race, and one had a toehold on Clemson. I had a toehold on Charlotte. And Clemson, believe it or not, has won four straight to put themselves back in the mix. Packer and Durham's Power Hour next, presented by Subway.
Packer and Durham.